On this episode of Nurturing Wellbeing, I have two folks, Slam Anderson and Matt Anderson. No, they're not related, but they are working together in the field of trying to change children's lives. I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation about lived experience. And Matt is from North Carolina. And so you're going to get to hear some of the great things he's doing up there and across the nation. And Slam is right here from Florida, who was one of our award winners a couple of years ago. And now she's using her life to change children and families. With all that, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Nurturing Wellbeing with Kurt Kelly. Well, I got to tell you, exciting to have both of you here and just our off-camera conversations. This is going to be a lot of fun. Matt, let me start with you. You and I have already done a podcast, and we're so glad that you're down here at our conference to present. This is part of kind of our conversation that we believe that best practices and better practices, things that we can learn from folks all over the United States. If you were in the meeting yesterday with our keynote speaker, one of the things she said was that the eyes of the United States are watching Florida. And I think it's partly because we're really moving headlong into the lived experience concept. We're trying to, in fact, just a great conversation with us talking about how the lived experience has to be genuine, it has to be transparent, and it also has to be in such a way that the system will accept it. You know, it's not that we've got all the answers and we're here to help you. It's how do we actually engage what happened to you? What can we learn from that?
And I think that the idea of lived experience becoming a bigger and bigger part of our work and our field, one, it's a really, really good thing. And I think it's a really important thing. And the first thing that came to my mind is that it's about me first as a leader in the child welfare field, being open to creating relationships with people that have experienced the system that I've worked within for so long. I have to understand somebody's story, somebody's background, somebody's experience, understand their truth. It may be different than my truth or the truth of what we see as the system, but it's still their truth and it's an important truth and it's one we have to validate and engage with and learn from. And I think that's a jumping off point of trust and relationship building. And then that relationship, it's going to help me get better. It's going to help our field and our system get better because we're going to have a more diverse representative set of expertise coming to the table of like, what do we do now as we think about the future and more transformative change in our field? And then the other thought that occurred to me too, which came up last night here at the conference, at the dinner with a number of people, which is there's this movement happening here in Florida, North Carolina, all over the country, where people are asking different questions about how should we meet the needs of kids and families. And I think this movement includes people like Slam and so many people that were here last night that are now at this point in their career where they're ready to be the leaders going forward. And I think that as leaders in our field, we should be creating opportunities for people not to just share their experiences and their stories, but to be in formal leadership roles, shaping the future of where our system goes. And I think that's starting to happen. It's exciting, but I think that's one of the parts of transformative change that I think we're all looking for.
It's interesting you're using the word transformation or transformative. I'm contemporarily right now, I'm reading a book on transformational leadership. And this is a guy that's from Harvard. He's talking about it in the industry world, but it could be in the political world, it can be in any world that you want to move from the transactional aspects of leadership. Transactional saying, I got the rules, the regulations, this is how we do it. We may learn a few things, but we're here from government, we're here to help you, and we've got all the answers. Transformational leadership always requires someone to lead and intentionally, but to have an unbelievable open process so that they can hear. In this world, and we had Corey Best on yesterday, and we were talking about sometimes in our system, someone that has had something that's happened in their life, they may have been a parent that was recognized a verifiable maltreatment process, but that doesn't define them. And if we put that as that's who they are, so why am I listening to them? Actually, we ought to be listening to them because there's a healing process that's taking place with them. And that's our goal, is to get them back into the right environment, atmosphere, so that we can reunite those our children with them. And if we can't, they still have a story to hear from that. What can we learn from that? And it, therefore, it's not just anecdotal stories. It is real. It's real understanding. And that is genuine pathway to transformation. Slam, you were here with us when we did something 3 years ago at Disney. You're one of our award winners. I want you to talk about that. But as you're hearing this conversation, and you were in the system. So relate it. Relate that to us, and so that our viewers can understand what does it mean to have someone that lived this life and now is. You're not defined by that either. You're moving on.
And I'm still, like I tell people, I'm still very new and still getting my confidence, building my confidence and telling my story. I'm still learning stuff, you know, still, you know, trying to get court documents and try to put some truth to some of the things you're told when you're younger, you know. So I'm still doing all of that. But I love that I feel like I'm coming in everything at the right time. Like Matt saying, these lived expertise, this shift is happening. And I feel like, you know what, I'm right where I need to be right here, because that's what I'm here for. And I love how Matt said, not just telling our stories, because sometimes it could feel when you're just asked all the time to tell your story and you want to do more, it's kind of like, well, is that all I'm worth? What I went through, that trauma, that sob, that's all you want? Because I have much more to offer. I have ideas. I have strategies that could be implemented. You know what I mean? I have, you know, people always come to me and they tell me, not just me, I'm pretty sure any other Foster alumni who are listening probably get this too. It's like, oh, you're the special one. You're the lucky one. You're different. You're the exception. And so I'm like, if I'm the exception, why not bring me in to figure out how to duplicate so we can have all exceptions? So all of us are exceptions. So all of us are coming out the same way. All of us are getting that same opportunity. So bring me in and let's figure out how to duplicate that. Because if you're saying that I'm so much of the exception, let me tell you, let me walk you through to see how I became this supposed exception that you say I am. And let's make other exceptions. Let's make other experts. Let's make all these other kids the same. And even when we talk with our UR team, Unbelievably Resilient, and we're talking on our podcast, we're like, and it's not even that you have to become a social worker or work in the system, but it's just about healing. Like you said, it's transforming. It's about healing. So I love hearing that. I love seeing this shift of us, because one thing that my executive director, Carrie Richmond, always says, and I love this quote, she says, it's like, when we talk about getting a seat at the table, she goes, it's time for the system to realize that it wouldn't be a table without us. We shouldn't have to ask for a seat at a table that's made for us. This table was created because of us. So why do I need to ask to be sit at this table? This is my table. I own this table, you know, type of thing.
And when the system opens up and says, listen, come talk to us. We don't have any presupposed outcomes on this. We need to learn from these outcomes. So you probably remember this, but here in Florida in 2015, I went to a conference and it was around DJJ. And I was listening to a group of legislators talk about it. And I'm a former legislator, and I was sitting there at a table, and I was just listening to the conference. I didn't like what they had to say. I really didn't. It seemed like the same old kind of thing with a kind of, platitudes. But there wasn't anything that was moving us in a direction. And I sat down and I said, my experience wasn't this at all. But I came from a great family, great mom and dad, worked too hard on the farm. But I mean, all of that stuff. And I began to think, what were some of the things that transformed my life? And I began to think about football and sports and education and music and arts and things like that, and began to sort of define a little bit. I wasn't just the poor farm boy. I was all of these things. We started an organization called One Voice Impact. One Voice Impact was about youth message. It was bringing to hear from the youth, but also to recognize that they're more than what people say they are. and give them an opportunity. And I think that's what you say. You've certainly won our youth champion of the year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And so in 2019, and it's good that you mentioned writing, because one of my tools is writing, you know, poetry. And so with that, I did a little program at a foster care facility in Brandon called The Kids Place. And I did with my organization, Kitchen Table Literary Arts Center, I was able to design this writing program for them based on, it's called Writing for Healing, but basically just using writing as a way to express, to heal, to let out all those things we feel like we can't say to people. And with that, I was nominated for the Outstanding Youth Award, and I won at the 2019 FCC. And I love the full circle, because at that conference, the keynote speaker was Miss Allison Maxon. And so, I remember I saw her, and I usually don't do this, but I was like, this is my first child welfare conference. I'm here. I'm ready now. I've been waiting so long to be able to be in a place with these professions, these people, listen to them. I'm going to go speak to her afterwards. And I remember I waited until they started picking up all the chairs, because I was like, I don't want to be interrupted when I talk to her, so I would be last. And I went and I spoke to her, and we had this genuine conversation. And then that led to, one, me being a part of Unbelief Resilient, meeting Matt Anderson, and coming right back 3 years later to FCC 2022 as a speaker, as a performer, as a member of a organization that are circled around, foster alumni, as building my program with my nonprofit Kitchen Table Literary Arts Center. It's just great. And it shows that with FCC, like I said, like, you don't know when people come to these conferences, you don't know where they are in their careers. You don't know what they're going through in their journey, in their past, what they're here for. Like my mom always say, when you pass somebody in close proximity, you speak, because you don't know if that hello is the difference between them taking their life and them continuing saying, wow, you know what? I just lost hope for humanity. And you saying hello to me just gave me that much more strength. So you always speak. So it's like, even with these conferences, you never know. So when you're networking, when you make these connections with people, be intentional, be genuine, be real. And when I was here, I made those real connections. And I think it shows FCC, in my opinion, it makes me a fan of FCC, because it shows that not only are you all building conferences to educate and to push it and upstream, but also to grow professions, to grow professionals, to take a professional from a youth who won an award to 3 years. Now you are presenting. Now you're a speaker. And maybe 2 years, 3 years from now, you're going to be the keynote. You're going to be the keynote. I'm just saying, it just shows that. And I think it inspires people. It does inspire other youth. It does inspire, other alumni. Like I tell Carrie, being a part of UR is what inspired me to continue to push. Being around these other foster alumni who I see are no longer living in shame, or are no longer letting their stories define them, or being defined by one thing, like you said, but they are just being themselves. They're being authentic. And it makes you want to do it as well.
So this program that we are on is called Nurturing Wellbeing. Notice I didn't use foster, didn't use that word, because that has connotations. There's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes people see that as kind of a, but what you said about growing and setting the environment, when I brought in Dr. Patricia Nellius to come in and run the learning community side of this, one of our major initiatives is so that we could set the environment to have this just plethora of learning capacity, all these things that would take place. Matt, as you're hearing all of these stories and things that are happening around the nation, we can put on a smile all the time. This isn't always pretty work. In fact, it's highly challenging. But we got to hear from that, right?
So Slam, kind of plugging, I'm going to be the keynote in a couple years, right? So maybe even next year, who knows? And my first thought was, yes, and Slam and her mom, Lily, should keynote together. Now, I don't know if your mom's going to want to do that or not, but I've had the chance to get to know Slam and her mom and so many other parents that have experienced the child welfare system. And it makes me emotional just thinking about it, because it is difficult. And what I hear from parents is two things oftentimes. Now, there are the exceptions where this is serious child safety concern and we have to intervene. We've got to keep kids safe. But far too often, the experience is a parent or parents, I love my children. I want the best for my children. and I don't have the basic needs that I need to thrive, or even just to meet those concrete housing, childcare, food, like the basics. And in a society where we have so much abundance, and we have so many families that can't meet those basic needs, it's heartbreaking because they're saying, I love my kids and I couldn't meet those basic needs. And as a result of that, the child welfare system got involved and it did me harm and it did my family harm. And that's crushing, I think, if we really get inside this, the stories and the experiences of what you said about like transformational leadership and seeing people for their completeness. It made me think of another book by Father Greg Boyle, who founded Homeboy Industries in LA and has expanded that globally. His new book, recent book, is called The Whole Language. And the whole point of that is that when we speak of people, we speak the whole language, which means we speak of their unshakable goodness. And we have to see parents involved in the child welfare system for their unshakable goodness. And then think about, what does this parent need from me? That's very different from what we've been set up to provide. And if we met those needs, if we understood what those things were, and we found ways to transform what we do, our policies, practices, where we put our dollars, we might be able to move, quote unquote, upstream to invest in the well-being of parents. And that's going to be so much better for the safety and well-being of kids. So for me, it's like, if we're concerned about the safety and well-being of kids, then we demonstrate that by how we invest in their parents. And when you get to know people's experiences and their stories, it does for me compel action of like, well, now what do we do?
The one thing that I think and why Florida has seen we went through a transformation, being one of the worst in America, losing kids, not knowing. And the system was very bureaucratic. It's rule driven. It's transactional driven. And we laud ourselves that at least we're doing that. And we're trying to take care and we're trying to protect kids. And listen, we're from government. We're here to help, kind of thing. And that mindset, while it's better than not caring at all, it also sometimes brings, there's a book out there called Abusive Policies, and it brings in an unintentional, almost abuse. Every time that, even if it's well-intended to remove a child out of a home because of the safety issue, there's a trauma that takes place. And that's a lifelong trauma. And they're not defined by that forever. We can work on healing that. But this is the part that I think that Florida is sort of unique in, with its community-based care, is what was the intention, is what, frankly, Buddy McKay and Governor Lawton Childs, they started this concept. Jeb Bush came in, Republican, and says, I love this. One's a Democrat, one's Republican. See, it wasn't about a party. It wasn't about politics. It was like, let's get communities involved. But even there, you can still put policies and rules and regulations and, you know, and you get statutes that come in and they're going to put guardrails in on all of this. I resist that. I try to say, look, I believe in accountability, especially if you're helping pay for it. What I want you to do, I want you to provide for us an opportunity and then get out of the way and let the community and the people in that community begin to love on people. I'll tell you what, you go into some of these areas and you bring a faith community into meeting with families, they're just going to go there to love them. They may not have all the expertise and the quote knowledge and rules and regulations, but they're going to come in, and I'll tell you, that love heals a lot more than policies. Guys, I wish we could carry on this conversation for hours, and we can. And you have a great presentation today. You're doing one together, right?
Yes.
All right. If I could get out of there, I might come running here for a little bit and listen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you guys and look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you.
I told you were going to enjoy this interview. I got to tell you, just to see the excitement and the enthusiasm of both Slam and Matt and the great work they do. They're very knowledgeable in what they're engaging, but you get to see their passion and their heart on why they do it. And so I'm thankful that we have such professionals and people committed to this work. And we're glad to be able to bring this to you here on Nurturing Wellbeing with Kurt Kelly.